This is the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network. Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Tyler Gunther, Kelly Appleby, and Tim Keller to bring us all in the huddle. This is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. Let's get to it with Tyler, Kelly, and Tim.
Welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast. This is two times in 4 days. I am here just with Tyler and just with Kelly. We've let everybody else was on the draft pod at home. We hope you guys tuned in. We had a ton of fun that night. I'm sure everybody else did watching the NFL draft. So Tyler, how you doing? How'd everything go this weekend for you, man?
It was good. I mean, the Falcons went deep into the defense, and I like it. I like their draft. There's a running back that I was questionable about that we'll mention later. But yeah, it was fun. But I want to hear from you and Kelly. You guys were there live, so that is what everybody probably wants to hear. The real experience instead of me seeing it on TV.
Yeah, Kelly and I bet we went to day three of the NFL draft in Philadelphia. Kelly actually was yelling and booing so much he has a bit of a sore throat. But so how you doing, sir? And what'd you think of the draft, buddy?
Yeah, the voice is a bit raspy from booing the living F out of all the Eagles picks. I mean, the draft experience, like you said, it was an awesome experience. I'm glad I checked it off my sports bucket list. I mean, if it's back in Philly again, I'm going again. That was awesome.
I'll second that. If any of you guys ever get an opportunity to go to the NFL draft, I think Philadelphia was a bit of an experiment with all this outdoor activities. If you guys get an experience, a chance to go to this and experience this, I highly, highly recommend it. We were lucky enough to get tickets to go sit inside the facility where the picks were being announced. And we were kind of up on one of the mezzanines to start. And then as people would get up and leave, they do what they call select people as fillers. So we got to move down. We were second row, front and center of the stage. Again, it's day three, so it's not, you know, the number one overall pick or nothing, but it is the NFL draft. It's a sports bucket list type moment. And then outside of that facility, all kinds of interactive things. Each little thing they had set up had its own little QR code. There was an app. If you go around, scan all those, it's like a treasure hunt per se. I think they were calling it a scavenger hunt. You would then go back to these NFL draft mobile kiosks and redeem them for prizes. They were giving away autographed footballs, gift cards, jerseys, things like that. It was so much fun. I know one of our other buddies we went to high school with was also there. He got himself a Kobe Fleener signed football for getting all those QR codes. The field goal contest, the 40-yard dash, the vertical jump, all those sort of things. Met Eric Kendricks, got an autograph from him. There's a Minnesota Viking for you, Tyler.
Yeah. His brother plays for the Eagles still, doesn't he?
Yes, he does currently anyways. It was just a lot of fun. A lot of people, they say they got about 250,000 people there, but it was off the charts. And then they had the actual, I guess, the war room where the selections were actually being processed over at a secondary location right there by the entire shindig. So we actually got to walk over and get inside of there. And it's much different atmosphere, much more subdued. A lot more business-like in there, but it's just neat to see how that all goes down as well. So kudos to Philly. I think they did a great job hosting. The fans overall, everybody was doing their best to talk trash and to talk smack and boo their rivals' picks and things like that, but nothing ever got out of hand. I know the Eagles fans have a reputation. We've definitely earned that reputation, and we like to maintain that reputation at times, but the NFL draft's not for that sort of thing. So a lot of fun. Got a Dallas Sucks chant started in the fourth round, had the crowd going nuts, but nothing got out of hand. Nobody got out of pocket. So before we get into things today, we're going to talk about the draft. We're going to go down some teams here. We're going to go alphabetical order, talk about some of these offensive players they've picked. Is it good fits for them? What does it mean for some of the veterans that are currently still on those rosters? Those sort of things. And just kind of talk about what we thought of the draft and did these picks make sense at the time, at least to us. But before we get into that, I want to talk about some of our sponsors. Our sponsor leading the show is the Sit or Start app. It is the premium app for all your Sit or Start questions. It will help you set the best and most winning lineups week in and week out during the season. We're not in season right now. We're definitely in the hot news section of the off season here. All these new draft picks. go get the Sitter Start app. They'll keep you up to date on all this news. We're going to have guys. You saw Gary Barnage get cut almost immediately after the Browns took a tight end in the draft. So there's going to be more of those type of things coming. Camp will be starting up before we even know it. Rookie camps will be going on here in a few short weeks. So get the Sitter Start app now. Keep up to date on all that news. And then in a few short months when the season starts, you'll have them already set in place to help you set your winning lineups. Our other sponsor, MFL, MyFantasyLeague.com. It is the best site to host your dynasty leagues on. Not just dynasty leagues. You want to play redraft? Great. They can host those too. MFL has the top-notch settings, options, roster building, and scoring out there, bar none, the best site to do all this sort of thing on. So with all that being said, we are going to go ahead and get into that. And like I said, we're going to go by alphabetical order. So to kick things off, that's going to give us the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals had what? One, two, three. They had six picks in this draft. Two of them were offensive players. Their first offensive player was in the third round, the 34th pick of the third round. Receiver out of Grambling, Chad Williams. Now, Chad Williams is not one of the bigger names in this draft. He's, I don't want to call him little known, but he's lesser known than some of the bigger names. He went to a small school. But do yourself a favor and go look at this guy's metrics numbers. He is a metrics freak. So, Tyler, I'll go to you first. What do you think of the receiver fit here in Arizona?
Well, I think they still have J.J. Nelson. They still have John Brown, which I think they're finally getting his situation figured out. I know he had some medical issues and it was hard to see that. I forgot what is actually called.
He has sickle cell, correct?
Yeah, sickle cell. And that is dangerous when it gets out of control. And he had a lot of issues with that. And I think from the news I've heard, they're finally actually getting that under control. So that's good news.
Yeah, it's great news.
And for this, I think since we all kind of know it's Fitzgerald's last year, mm-hmm. I think it's more of a, okay, you sit back, you're our fifth receiver right now, learn from one of the greatest, learn route running. He's raw. And like you guys said, he has tons of metric upside. I mean, this guy has it all, but I mean, he reminds me of Charles Johnson, all that hype that you heard from him mm-hmm. and Charles Johnson had it figured out, but then it seemed like it just slipped from him. Like all the passes were thrown to him, just kind of dropped it.
Yep. Slipped right through his fingers.
Yeah, but I think he's learning from one of the best, and I mean, he's a good flyer. I don't think he's been brought up too much. I think still people are a little nervous about it, so I don't think you have to pay too much for him in rookie drafts, so he might be worth a flyer in the third or fourth round. But
that's exactly what he is. He's going to be a third or fourth round flyer in these dynasty rookie drafts. I know, Tyler, your addictive personality. We've got two kicked off already within hours of the draft ending. We had two rookie drafts go off, as well as not a rookie auction, but we have a startup auction going as well. So we're definitely busy. Kelly, what do you think about this guy? Sub-7, three cone, 99th percentile in the Spark scores. You think he's going to fit well here in Arizona? I think Tyler had a great point that he's going to have the opportunity to learn from a guy like Larry Fitzgerald. If he can learn some of those nuanced type things and start to polish off those rough edges, we could be looking at a guy that might end up being something here.
Yeah, I agree totally with what Tyler said. I mean, you got a lot of wide receivers there. You know, great player there in Fitzgerald, but this is last year. Jerron Brown is only signed for one more year. You never know with John Brown on how much longer he's going to play. So, you know, the metrics probably caught the Cardinals' eye. They need somebody to replace Larry eventually, so bring him in. I think from what I've read, he ended up having like a gun possession and small amount of marijuana possession a couple years ago while he was at Grambling State. So I don't think he got the actual combine invite. So he slipped through some people's cracks here when it comes to evaluating these guys before the draft. But this draft position from the Cardinals is definitely caught our eye.
Yeah. And then the other offensive player they took was running back out of the University of North Carolina, TJ Logan. I had TJ Logan towards the bottom of my mid tier of running backs in this class, a very deep running back class. So to be at the bottom of the mid tier in most classes, you're not probably going to be drafted. I would say, I don't know, but the fact that he goes to a place like Arizona, they have David Johnson in place. I don't see much here for TJ Logan when it comes to fantasy value. Do either of you guys see anything?
Now, this is a guy who lit up the combine. So he is actually a guy I'm keeping an eye on. And if I have David Johnson, I will draft him in the fourth round. Yeah. Because when you have a stud running back like David Johnson, you want insurance. And I know TJ Logan wasn't used much in North Carolina, and he's a little undersized. But like I said, he destroyed the combine and has tons of metrics to work with. And with how much they throw to Johnson, I honestly can see him taking a little bit of what Johnson got. Because I know Arizona doesn't want to completely destroy David Johnson too soon. So I actually think if you're a David Johnson owner, you are definitely going for this guy in the late third, fourth round. But if you're not, and he goes into free agency, or you have like the last three picks in the fourth round, he actually might be a decent pick.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Even if you're not the David Johnson, or if he's there, like you said, with one of the last three picks in the draft, all it takes is one injury, and this kid automatically is going to have value, especially to the David Johnson owner. So if for nothing else, you might be able to move him. You can just stash him on a taxi squad and then flip him at some other point. Kelly, you got any hope for TJ?
Yeah, I agree with where you guys have him valued. I really like him in the sense, just because of there's not a lot of guys to jump over there. They just moved Ellington to a wide receiver position. So if he gets by Kerwin Williams, he's going to be the direct back with to back up to David Johnson there. So he's got 4.37 speed. They'll probably use him on special teams, and you hope he can kind of continue to develop. I wouldn't ever expect him to be a go-to guy for you, but you know, he could be a flex option down the road.
That's for sure. So now we're going to move into Tyler's team, the Atlanta Falcons. Tyler, I sent you a picture from the draft yesterday. They had the NFC and AFC locker room, some of the top named players in the leagues. They had lockers set up with all the gear, all the apparel. I sent you the Julio Jones locker, and you had quite the response to that, I'll say. But
your team had to take a minute or three.
Yeah. Get some alone time.
Yeah.
Break out the jargons.
Yeah.
Your team here, they like you mentioned, they went defense heavy. They only have one pick that was offensive player. It was the 12th pick in the fifth round out of Wyoming, running back Brian Hill. So we'll let you go first here. And what are your thoughts on Brian Hill? Does this make any sense to you?
Okay. Every time I think of Brian Hill, I do think of that Brian McKnight comment we had episodes back. And I love it. And honestly, that's the only reason why I love this pick, is because now every time I see him playing for Atlanta, I'm just going to be like, and it started back at one.
Actually, not terrible, Tyler. I'll tell you that. I was expecting much worse.
But no, their draft was great defensively. I love the first overall. I love their first round pick to play opposite side of Beasley. Yep. Oh, that's going to be deadly. But back to Hill, very puzzling to me. And I'm trying to think why they would have done it. But they haven't locked up Devonta Freeman yet. And that's my only thinking. They're really working on a contract with him. And maybe, just maybe, they had him as their fourth running back, their fifth running back, and he kept sliding back. And maybe they're like, okay, this is our insurance, because I think all they have is Teron Ward as their third running back. This is probably that, okay, depth in case of injury, depth in case, you know, we don't hold on to Tevin Coleman after next year, or we don't get Devonta Freeman signed. Mm-hmm. That's my only thinking, but it's a depth pick for sure. I wouldn't reach for him in dynasty drafts. I mean, the only way I'm taking him is if I have a late pick and I'm just like, you know what? He's on my team. That's all I would use him for. But yeah, it's definitely a depth pick. I do like the player. He's got a lot of upside. He reminds me of Jordan Howard, who was drafted in the fifth round. So you never know. I mean, It kind of scares me as a Devonta Freeman owner as well. So, yeah, it's puzzling.
Kelly, what about you? Any love for Williams there?
Well, for Hill, yeah. I mean, I like him just like Tyler said as a player. I was a little disappointed when Atlanta took him, because he's not getting by those two guys unless injuries happen. Maybe down the road, you know, he's a nice taxi stash, but I wouldn't take him out of place just because you like his tape. You know, just stash him on your team and hope one of those guys moves on, or he goes somewhere else eventually.
Yeah, I'm not too highly interested here in Hill. I'm like Tyler said, I like what they did with their first pick. They're adding that pass rush.
Oh, God, love it. Casey out of San Diego. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great pick, too. You put him with Tyron Poole in the slot.
Yep.
And yeah, like you said, I mean, Takaris McKinley, he has a motor. Like you said, he wants to be great. His whole entire backstory is amazing. And you know he's going to just work his tail off. What I said is when they drafted him, he didn't have the build like Vic Beasley. Vic Beasley is built, and he is like, I've talked to Beasley and he's in the gym constantly. With Beasley there, I think McKinley will actually work out with Beasley. And yeah,
they're going to push each other. That's for sure.
Oh God. Yeah.
They both want to be the best, and now they're both on the same team. So it's going to be an everyday competition in practice and every Sunday competition. Who can get that extra sack? Who can get that extra tackle in the backfield? They're going to come into games and they're going to make quarterbacks' lives hell on Sundays. They're going to, even when they're not getting the sacks, there's going to be those hits just as they're releasing the ball. They're going to put the pressure on them, get the quarterback off the spot. It's going to help out that defensive backfield for sure, get some extra floaters flying around out there, some balls maybe a little off target. It helps his defense overall. And let's be honest, just a few short months ago, that offense was playing at championship level. The defense is really kind of what failed them there in that second half. So we'll move on here to the Baltimore Ravens. And there's really not much to talk about when it comes to rookies because they didn't take any offensive rookies other than some linemen. So let's talk about some of the veterans. Kenneth Dixon.
Yep. I put on Twitter early this morning, if there's one player that I am looking to buy cheap, it is Kenneth Dixon, because everything they did was built to seem like, okay, we're going to go Terrence West. And then once we get Dixon back, he's our guy. That's what I'm getting, the vibe I'm getting from Baltimore.
Remember, they got Woodhead, but all offseason long, I kept hearing Harbaugh talk up Kenneth Dixon, despite the suspension, Kenneth Dixon this, Kenneth Dixon that. And there's a ton of coach speak in the offseason, so it's hard to really read through it. But I kept it in the back of my mind. Maybe there's something to this. The draft kind of, they're telling us a story. They're saying that they believe in what they have. They have Terrence West, Danny Woodhead, and Kenneth Dixon will be coming back from suspension. They like what they have there. The receivers, Breshad Perriman, he's been injured, and we talked about it on this podcast. He flashed a couple different times last year. They have to feel that those flashes can start happening on a more consistent basis. Otherwise, I think they would have got a receiver. I mean, they seem like they tried at least to dip their toe in the pool of free agency a little bit when it comes to receivers, but they didn't land anybody, and now they haven't drafted anybody. So they're trying to tell us that they think that they have the offensive weapons. So, Kelly, who else on the Ravens, or do you agree with us on Dixon and Perriman here?
To a point. I'm not totally sold on Dixon just because of, you know, getting busted and getting a 4-game suspension. That's not necessarily the best idea, but they didn't go out and address it in the draft, and they very easily could have. They didn't go out and get wide receiver, which I'm encouraged with, because I went out this offseason and got me a little Chris Moore stock in my life, because I really feel like he's another wide receiver that could produce for that team.
Go ahead.
Oh, and I just want to mention about Dixon's 4 games. It wasn't anything, you know, marijuana. It wasn't drugs. It wasn't like supplements. It was actually Adderall that he forgot to go to the office to tell them that he takes Adderall.
Well, let me put a caveat on this. In the new bargain agreement, the agents of the players have the rights to put out to the media what a player gets busted. So you see a lot of Adderall these days. So I'm not saying it's not Adderall. if he can produce a prescription for Adderall, we have to take that at face value and that he does have a prescription for Adderall and he did not do his part in submitting the paperwork. So then when he would take a urinalysis, that wouldn't pop him, that they would look at it. Oh, he came up pop for Adderall. Well, he has a prescription for it, so he's good there. Is there anything else? No, then he's good to go. So we'll take it at face value that yes, he does have a prescription for Adderall, but just keep this in mind that the agents now get to release this stuff to the media. It's not the teams, it's not the league, the agents themselves. So you're going to see what's the best case scenario. What can we tell the public or the other teams? Because teams can't share this information either, that what this guy was doing. So they kind of look at Adderall as, he likes to study the playbook. He's up late at night. So everybody takes Adderall these days. So we'll move on to the Buffalo Bills, and this is a team that took a wide receiver. They took Zay Jones with the fifth pick in the second round out of East Carolina. Kelly, I think you were one of the highest on Zay Jones this offseason. You started to cool down on him a bit, but the Bills go out there and take a stand on him pretty early in the draft. What do you think?
I do like this landing spot for him. I still think he was a college compiler, and he's going to be somewhat reliant upon that. I've never been a huge Tyrod Taylor fan just because I feel like he wants to run the ball more than throw it. If you could ever change that style, I would love it. But I think he moves up a little bit for me. I gave him like a plus sign that he's going to move up a little bit just because of landing spot. But yeah, I like Buffalo's pick of Zay Jones there.
And Tyler, what's this mean for Sammy?
It just means, okay, now my comp for Zay Jones right here, it reminds me a lot of Robert Woods. Mm-hmm. But Robert Woods couldn't really develop that. But I think Zay Jones has more athletic upside than Robert Woods. So I like him in Buffalo. Honestly, I never thought Zay Jones was a one. I think he needed some outstanding elite receiver next to him to produce. So I'm with Kelly. I think this is a great spot. And with their next offensive pick, I like that too. I think their next, okay, you just announced the next pick because they tie in with each other. They do.
Kelly
kind of married well.
A huge fan of Tyrod Taylor, and that he likes to occasionally in the red zone, he'd rather run it in than throw it into that tight coverage down there in the red zone. But they went and got themselves a quarterback in the fifth round, Nathan Peterman out of Pittsburgh. So many of the draft Knicks had this guy pegged as the most pro-ready quarterback in this class. So we saw guys go off the board at number two overall, and then a little bit of a run there in the first, a couple guys, you know, here and there to get what most people consider the most pro-ready QB in the fifth round. What's this do now for Zay Jones, Watkins, and Tyrod Taylor, obviously?
Yeah, he actually reminds me of when Kirk Cousins came in. Kind of a guy who was accurate. They were worried about his deep ball, but wasn't going to be the franchise quarterback. He's going to be a backup that, you know, gets you a win or two when your quarterback's injured. But honestly, I think he can develop into what Kirk Cousins is. He's got the arm talent. He's got accuracy. I watched a little bit of his tape and I wasn't highly impressed, but I kept watching. And he, like you said, he's pro ready. Mm-hmm. He's got the timing down. He knows what to do with the football. He won't turn over that much. So, I mean, I think it's a perfect fit with Buffalo. They're a running team. And with Zay Jones, he's a route runner. And then you got Sammy on the other side who can do it all.
Yep.
I love it. I think Peterman's a good fit for this team. I think Zay Jones is a perfect fit next to Sammy. I think Buffalo hit this draft, and yet they fired their GM for some reason.
I like Peterman there in Buffalo. I think Tyrod's relationship just overall with the community, with the team, the front office has been wearing thin over the past few years. I know that Rex was a huge supporter of him. Now with Rex gone, I think that's his anchor is now gone. So they might ship him off sooner than later. And I think if he can come in here, start showing them something, and he might help that process of getting Tyrod Taylor out the door. And yeah, like anybody, if these draft Knicks are right, if he is the most pro-ready quarterback, having guys like Zay Jones, LeSean McCoy's there, Sammy Watkins there, you got to like that for a young quarterback. So, Kelly, what are your thoughts on this quarterback situation now?
Yeah, I agree with you guys totally. I mean, like you said, most pro-ready quarterback coming into this class. I like his style. He's more of a traditional quarterback, staying in the pocket and throwing the ball. He can actually take the snap from under center, where a lot of these guys, they're done a disservice by the way college has played, with majority of teams running the spread offense. If you don't have that experience, it takes time to develop. So I like him down the road, like actually developing into a starter here. I don't think it'll be this year, but, you know, Tyrod's on a short leash here, and he continues with the style play he's been doing. He's going to be out of town.
You hit on something there. With most of these guys playing in those spread offenses, the shotgun systems in college, most of them get in the NFL and they spend the first week of camp counting their steps and their drops, 3, 5, 7 step drops. They're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, so on and so forth. And it just, it seems so simple. Everybody can count, but you're not focused on what you need to focus on. And that's reading the coverage, finding that open receiver, making the correct read, and delivering the ball on time and in the right location. So that's something that Peterman can just get right past and just focus on the football side of things, and not something as simple as having to count your footsteps. So let's move on to the Carolina Panthers. Their first two picks, offensive players, very interesting. The Carolina Panthers, for so many years with D'Angelo Williams, Jonathan Stewart, kind of played this, we're going to run it right through you, see if you can stop it. We're going to play good defense. Lately, they've attempted to draft a few receivers of a certain style, big-bodied, slower types that Cam Newton can deliver those high passes to. And then Cam continues to do what Cam does, and he plays good quarterback. He runs those touchdowns in. He kind of vultures some of those running backs there. But with the first round pick for the Carolina Panthers, they select running back out of Stanford, Christian McCaffrey. And then right away in the second round, they come back and get the wide receiver slash running back, Curtis Samuel out of Ohio State. I immediately tweeted, are the Panthers going to go to a triple option offense? Are they just going to line both these guys up in the backfield and let Cam and these two guys kind of just make linebackers' lives really tough on Sundays? So, Kelly, with these new offensive weapons for Cam, what's this mean for the Carolina offense?
I mean, it's I guess the sky's the limit, really. I mean, for me, I really like the landing spot of McCaffrey here. I don't think it's the best place. Like, I guess I'd ask you guys, don't you think the Colts would have probably been the best spot for McCaffrey just for his value?
It would have been an interesting landing spot. I don't dislike the Panthers landing spot at all, though.
I just feel like
speaking of McCaffrey, I actually just drafted him in the Ultimate Podcast League.
Oh,
I took Fournette and McCaffrey back to back, and Tim is actually up at the moment. So,
well, then you guys talk. I'll take draft picks.
Yeah, when it comes to McCaffrey, though, I mean, it's not a terrible landing spot. He's going to get definitely a lot of volume. I just feel like it's not going to be a lot of loss and touchdowns, but it's kind of like Tyrod in a sense, but Cam's better. He vultures the touchdowns sometimes just because of his size advantage over most players.
Yeah, and with McCaffrey, I'm in another home league draft right now, and I had a friend talk to me. He's like, okay, I'm having a hard time between Cook or McCaffrey. And I'm like, McCaffrey has the safest floor. He's going to get 8 to 15 carries. He's going to get 5 to 10 catches a game. And that is so safe to me. And if I am guaranteed 10 to 20 points, like there's no lower, but he's got like potential 40 point ceiling. Yes, I'll sign up for that every day. And I know I'm very superstitious, but when McCaffrey showed me the number 22, I had a weird twitch in my mind, and I'm like, that is the number for McCaffrey. And God, he looks good in that blue.
Yeah, that's definitely a good number, a good look for him. What's your take on Samuel? I mean, do you like him in the offense?
In my rankings, I actually put him up to, I want to say 16, somewhere around there. I have Zay Jones ahead of him still, but it's interesting. I think he'll play slot, but I think he's actually taking over that Ted Ginn role. Ted Ginn was only 5'11". Mm-hmm. He wasn't as tall as people thought. He was short. And I think Samuel can do more than Ginn, but they use Ginn in a lot of those wide receiver screens. They had Benjamin on the outside or Funchess, Ginn right behind him lined up. And what they do is they'd hike the ball, shoot out to Ginn, and see what he can do. I think Samuel will probably have about 4 catches a game like that, just trying to get him in the space. And I think McCaffrey will have plays like that. And that's the thing about McCaffrey. I think they see McCaffrey as a weapon. But I think as well, McCaffrey has the vision to play running back. He has the vision to be a full-time running back like Freeman. But I do think he needs somebody else like Freeman does to take some work off of him because he's not the biggest guy. So I like McCaffrey here. I like Samuel here. I think they will do well together. I mean, Tim, what do you think about these two? Did you already say that? I was busy picking.
No. Yeah, I was actually busy picking myself. By the way, I took Joe Mixon at 4 overall.
I was thinking about him instead of McCaffrey because in a couple of Debbie leagues I have
you have McCaffrey.
And I don't have Mixon anywhere. So I was partial to it, but I just like I like McCaffrey's ceiling. He's safe.
I hear you. I like McCaffrey with the Panthers. I'm not a Curtis Samuel type player fan. Kelly, you kind of mentioned this to me yesterday on the train ride back from Philly. Just not the type of player, the short, speedy, kind of Swiss Army knife type player. I like a guy with more of a defined role, and hopefully he has tools like a Curtis Samuel. These tweener types, these guys that do multiple things. I think if you don't have a defined role, it makes it harder for the team to necessarily define your role as well in an offense. And then the shorter build, the smaller guy, Cam Newton's never been the most accurate of quarterbacks. I wonder if he's going to be able to find him accurately. If they use him properly, if they get him in space, make it shorter and easier passes on Cam Newton, I think Curtis Samuel can be a big time contributor here in Carolina. But I'm I'm not moving him up in my rankings as of right now, but McCaffrey for sure. I like this landing spot here. I'm sure you guys mentioned, but they did re-sign Jonathan Stewart. So Jonathan Stewart does things that McCaffrey's not going to necessarily succeed at right away, at least. And McCaffrey does things that Jonathan Stewart is not going to succeed at. So they're going to complement each other very well. And we're going to move on to the Chicago Bears. I almost called them Cleveland Bears here. They had a Cleveland-like draft, though.
Yes.
They sold the farm for a quarterback at number two overall. They made some other picks later on in the draft that the Chicago fans weren't overly happy with, but we'll talk about that very first pick of theirs, the number two overall pick, quarterback out of North Carolina, Mitchell Trubisky. Other offensive players here in the second round, they got Adam Shaheen out of Ashland. And then in the fourth round, they took Tariq Cohen out of North Carolina A&T. The joystick, I believe, is what they call him. So let's talk about the big one, Tyler. Mitchell Trubisky, I still want to call him Mitch, but he wants to go by Mitchell. So Mitchell it is, I guess. What do you think of this pick for the Bears?
I think it's dumb. Like you said, they had a Cleveland-like draft, and I feel bad for the Bears fans because there's so much you could have done with the third pick. You could have went defense and shored up that back, the defensive back. But man, I mean, you just got Glennon. What if Glennon pans out? Like, did they ever think of that? Like, what if Glennon is actually good? And
I think this was the front office saying, we need a quarterback. So they go get Glennon, and then the coaching staff saying, well, we really like this kid, so get us this kid.
Well, like I said on the live draft, maybe they're drafting for the next people to come in, the next head coach, the next GM. Maybe they just feel bad because, like, well, we're not going to be here next year, so maybe we'll just take their quarterback and we'll help them out a little bit. We'll take some players that will help them out more than us. That's what it seemed like they were doing.
Yeah, definitely. Kelly, what do you think about Trubisky here?
What is very similar to me is it's kind of like how the Eagles went up and got Wentz last year. They spent a lot to just get a quarterback. Problem is, I don't think Mitchell Trubisky is that type of quarterback. This we've been saying it for weeks that this draft class of quarterbacks maybe isn't the year to spend that draft capital in. And I think it paid too high of a price to draft this guy. He's accurate. He hits the underneath stuff. But again, like we were talking about it on the train while coming back, if you just watched any of the Gruden QB camps, he didn't even know what a hard count was. That's amazing to me. How do you go through college and not know a hard count? So, there's a foundation to build upon here for him. I just think the Bears just did the Bears type thing. And there's a reason why they've never had a quarterback there. They just don't know how to draft one.
Yeah, I like Mitchell Trubisky. I think he has talent. I think he has a good arm. I think it's his decision making and the time it takes to make those decisions at times that concern me.
Does his looks concern you? I almost feel like he's too good looking of a player.
I don't care.
All quarterbacks are, though. All the good ones are.
Yeah.
Tom. You got a point there. Yeah, Tommy B. Yeah.
Roethlisberger, not
Joe
not
Montana
so much,
back
but
in the day was a good looking fella.
Steve Young.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we need to put like face metrics in here. Who knew?
Yeah. Jawline. They have to have a certain jawline.
Jawline, eye spacing, cheekbones. Yep. No, I don't care how a player looks as long as they can play the game of football. That's what really matters.
So does that mean Mike Glennon isn't going to be good?
Yeah, he's
going
to be terrible.
Oh, sorry, Mike Glennon. I think the kid has talent. I think, sadly, he is on a team currently that has a head coach that does not have a good track record, at least, of developing quarterbacks. Now he has a guy who has a few starts under his belt with Glennon, and then a guy who has a few college starts under his belt in Trubisky. So that's probably my biggest concern is he may have gone somewhere where it's going to be a detriment to his growth. And that's really what he needs. He needs a place that's going to nurture him and really teach him the ins and outs of this game and find a way to help him settle himself down and make better decisions when you have all those defensive linemen and linebackers flying around your head. Other than that, though, the Tariq Cohen pick in the fourth round,
Adam Shaheen in the second.
Cohen, small guy, speedy guy, very agile guy side to side. I like it, but
I like it with Howard.
He's completely different than Howard. He's a 180 from Howard. Is this just them saying we just have no liking for Langford whatsoever?
I think so. And I also think they also want to use Jordan Howard in the passing game, but this is more like a, okay, we'll give you some passes, but this, we got this guy who will be a third down back. But I think they'll use Cohen in different ways, I think.
And then what about Shaheen? Small school guy, got a lot of good publicity this offseason, though. Could be an offensive weapon. I wasn't nearly as high on Shaheen as some people were, though. So what do you think?
I am.
Well, that's why I'm throwing it to you. What do you think of Shaheen here?
I like Shaheen, and honestly, I like him here. I just thought it was a little early for Chicago to draft him. Otherwise, if he was taken in the late third, maybe early second, mid second, I would love this pick. And I think with Trubisky, I think they're going to be able to learn together because Shaheen's from Division II. So with that, I think Shaheen will have some time to grow. He's super athletic. He's a big guy. He's going to play well in the NFC North. It's cold up here, and I think this is a guy that will strive playing in the cold. He'll be Trubisky's check down type guy. And yeah, I think it's a good fit, and I think he's risen up my boards a little bit. I haven't put him in my rookie rankings yet because I'm very nitpicky with rookie rankings, as everybody knows.
Yeah.
So I'm still debating where I want to put him, but I think he's going to be up in the third round-ish for rookie drafts.
Okay. Just because we've talked too much on the Chicago Bears, we're going to move on. We're going to go to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes, please.
They had a pretty interesting draft here. They took a couple of players where I didn't think their first two picks would be offense, but they went John Ross at 9 overall, and then in the second round, they took Joe Mixon. They followed that up a few rounds later. In the fourth round, they got a guy, Josh Malone, out of Tennessee. And then their
Carl Malone's son.
And then their seventh
round. I'm totally kidding.
Well, Kelly asked me, have I heard of this guy? Do I have a scouting report on him? And I just said, he's the mailman's son.
he delivers.
Yeah. Same joke. in the seventh round, right there at the end of the draft, Mason Shrek, I believe is his name, from the University of Buffalo. He's a tight end.
Wasn't he in a movie?
I think they did make a movie about him. He might be an ogre. I'm not 100% sure. But the ninth overall pick, Kelly, John Ross, the Bengals made the Raiders jealous here.
Yes, they did. They made a Raiders-type draft pick. They went up and picked a speedster guy just because he blew away the combine there. I don't know. You know, Bosch just went off on our Thursday show.
Yeah, so. And I want to say, I think the only two people clapping at this pick was Troy Williamson, who went to the Raiders at like 7, or no, to the Vikings at 7, and then Darius Heyward-Bey, who went to the Raiders at around 7. And don't forget Ted Ginn, who got drafted in the same spot by the Dolphins. Yep. Those three were just like, all right, pick.
Good pick. I am a noted and avid John Ross disbeliever. I think he isn't completely a one-trick pony, but that one trick he likes to lean on, and that's his speed. He's going to a place, though, where they have a solidified number one wide receiver there with A.J. Green on the other side, and then they have a very good tight end in Tyler Eifert. So it's not going to be all eyes on him, and everybody's going to think that this guy has to be the savior by any means. Anybody like the John Ross pick here for Cincinnati, though?
The only thing I like about it is he's not the number one on a team. He's a number two. Everything else is probably the worst spot. I mean, Andy Dalton is known for not having a huge arm. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't help. They don't throw the ball too much. And with their next pick, it's going to tear apart his value completely as well.
Yeah. Anybody on this podcast own Jeremy Hill anywhere?
Thank God, no.
No?
I think I do on the orphan team I took over.
Okay, so, well,
we screwed in that department.
Jeremy Hill's died. Joe Mixon, Oklahoma running back, second round pick for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Now, you say Hill died. Mm-hmm. Giovanni Bernard is interesting. What do you think with these two?
I think Giovanni Bernard can completely focus on being a passing downs back, completely kind of transition over into a Danny Woodhead style role, where if they want to try to catch some teams off guard, they can run him between the tackles. I imagine most of his runs now will be off draw plays on third and long, but he can be there strictly to catch passes. Joe Mixon is no slouch when it comes to catching passes himself, but Joe Mixon can be that first and second down pounder. And until they get Gio back in the fold, Joe Mixon can be that passing downs back, plus work on first and second down as well. He does what Jeremy Hill does. He just does it so much better.
Yeah.
He can do what Geo does. I think Geo, when it comes to that passing game, if you get Geo in space, Geo can be a very electric player. Joe Mixon can be very good in space.
I love the fact that you said Geo can work on being a Woodhead type player. And honestly, yeah. I see his career path now being exactly like that. Geo's still young. He's very injury prone, but I think it's because he's been trying to do too much.
They've put a small guy in there with the big horses between the tackles, those big linebackers. They put a pounding on you, and he would be better suited on the outside. Get him in space, get him against those DBs, those safeties. Some of those safeties, you know, can deliver a big hit, but he's going to outrun the linebackers. They're going to try to cover him on wheel routes. If you get him in space, he's going to probably shake most of the DBs, most of the cornerbacks. He's going to be just more electric out there, I feel. So I like this pick. I like this pick a lot. Honestly, I wanted the Eagles to.
Oh God, they had so many chances.
When they passed on him, there was three different times where I'm like, this is where we're going to take this running back. And then they let them go. And then some other team gets him. So, but Kelly, you want to try to poo-poo the Joe Mixon pick here?
I'm in agreement with you guys. I like the landing spot. I think he's, in a way, like, to the average fan who's not listening to the podcast, I think he might drop just like maybe a spot or two in those rookie drafts, and it helps whoever's in that, you know, 3, 4, 5 kind of range. Maybe he falls down there because they think, well, Gio's still got that job and he might have to wait a little bit. But I think this is a great spot here for Joe Mixon.
I tell you that I actually have Mixon as my 6th best player, and it's only because I actually like the other spots. Like, that's the only reason why I like where everybody else landed.
So. I just think long term, he's got this, though. Like, he's the best running back out of all these guys. And it's not going to be long till Giovanni Bernard is, you know, picking up a free agent deal somewhere else. You know, Jeremy Hills, who cares?
Yeah,
you know,
they already CFL. Got Rick
Burke. Yeah, CFL superstar.
So here's my hot tip, though, is see what the price tag is on Gio in your league.
Yep, agreed.
If you're picking in the top 6,
yeah, now's
you know, let's say between 4 and 6, where that Joe Mixon window seems to be. If it's a league with me, you got to get him at 4 because that's where I'm taking him. But yeah, if you look like you might be able to get yourself some Joe Mixon, even if you can't get Joe Mixon, I think that Gio's price, because of the Joe Mixon pick and the injury, I think Gio's price might be a bit deflated. So you might be able to get him at a pretty good price right now. But let's move on. Josh Malone, wide receiver out of Tennessee. They picked him up in the 4th round. I think it's a wide receiver depth pick, really. I don't see a ton here that I like. He's
got upside.
Yeah, he's got upside. If John Ross comes to fruition as being a one-trick pony, they still have AJ Green. They still have Tyler Eifert, but they lost Sanu. What's the other guy they lost just last year?
Marvin Jones. And
Marvin Jones, yeah.
And this is the kind of guy I feel like they drafted to replace that size on the other side of the field from AJ. It'll help him out a little bit.
Now, I do want to say they drafted the same type of player last year in Cody Core. They're almost similar. Fast guys, super athletic. So it was kind of puzzling to me when they could have went different routes. But yeah, I mean, they must have had best player available. We had this guy pegged as a 3rd or 2nd rounder. So maybe that's why. But yeah, I mean, he's a high upside guy. I don't think he's worth anything but a 4th round rookie pick or a free agency pickup. But yeah, I mean, Cody Core did some decent things when there was injuries, so you never know.
On the phone right now.
But okay, we'll move on to the next rookie, Brandon Wilson, a running back out of Houston. I'm going to be honest with you guys, I didn't really know this guy. I watched a little bit of Houston because they were nationally known this year when they went 6-0 with Ward Jr. at quarterback. But other than that, I didn't really see much in this guy. He just seems kind of a special team type guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's move on to the Browns here. Let's talk about some of these guys. I think the Browns, this front office is
home run.
Finally turned a corner. I think the Browns, at least in the front office, have a good staff in place and are going to start making the right moves. I think they got themselves a good coach. Hopefully he can take these players this front office is getting him and develop them.
I tell you, the Browns have made a draft that have actually made me fans of them.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no reasons to root for
no joke.
Now. Yeah.
I love this team's outlook. Well, absolutely love
it. They took your quarterback, obviously.
That is why. I love this spot for him. I could talk for hours about Okay.
He was their second offensive pick. So we'll go to their first one first. David Njoku. A lot of people have him as the number two tight end in this class. It was OJ, Njoku, Everett. So Kelly, we'll let you go first, and we'll give Kaiser to Tyler. So talk about Njoku here. Do you like the landing spot? What do you think?
For sure. You know, he's gonna be an automatic target. You know, he's a physical specimen. I mean, just the shirt off just gives you a slight chub. But I mean, I love Njoku here. I mean, you touched on it earlier. They got Barnage immediately, so he's gonna get plenty of work. I mean, even as a rookie, I feel like he's gonna get stats.
Yeah, within a 24-hour period, Gary Barnage had two tweets. The one was, "Hey David, welcome to the tight end room. Let's get to work." And then the very next tweet was, "I want to thank Cleveland and the team and the fans. I look forward to the next opportunity." So that's how quickly things can change in this league. So Gary, you had that one damn good year, man. You surprised a lot of people. You were a great waiver wire pickup in a lot of leagues. So hopefully you find some success and some work somewhere else in the league. But David Njoku, solid tight end, needs to work on his blocking. As so many rookies do when it comes to entering this league, they need to work on their blocking. But I like him here in Cleveland, especially if maybe this next pick can start to work out. And Tyler, that next pick is DeShone Kizer, quarterback Notre Dame. So let's not talk for hours, but let's talk a little bit about DeShone Kizer.
This is the perfect landing spot for him. When he kept sliding, I was going team by team, like, okay, here's a spot where he can sit for half a season or half the season or full and learn. Because yes, I do think he needs a lot of learning, but when he landed with the Browns and Hugh Jackson, who is very, very good with quarterbacks, I love it. I think DeShone Kizer now has tremendous upside in super flex leagues. And I was talking with Riley, who, yes, is also a Notre Dame fan, but I think he is a top 12 pick in a super flex league. And it's because of the upside. They have weapons beyond weapons beyond weapons here in Cleveland. They have Njoku now. They have Corey Coleman. They have Kenny Britt. They have Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson out of the backfield. I love those options. And they have a great offensive line to protect this guy. Mm-hmm. And that is the one thing that made Dak Prescott a superstar was time. They allowed Dak Prescott to process quicker, which is what Kizer needed. And I could see a situation where Kizer comes in, maybe even week one, if there's an injury to Kessler, because I do think Kessler will start. I hope to God they cut Osweiler, just a side note. But I do think Kizer can come in week four, week eight, anytime between in the middle of the season, get the playbook down and be like, okay, I got this. He's a big dude. He'll play well in the cold, where it's cold in Cleveland. And I think he fits that mold of quarterbacks in the AFC North to a T. I think this is the best spot for DeShone Kizer. When they drafted Njoku and then they got Kizer, I'm like, boom, these two are going to have a connection beyond belief. I can't get enough of DeShone Kizer.
I think if the coaching staff had a say in this, I think this is going to work out great. But if this was completely front office, I'm sure the coaching staff will work with him for sure. But yeah, I'd like to know more if this was kind of like a handpicked guy. I think they would have liked for a quarterback maybe to be there at 12 in the first round.
I think they were hoping for Trubisky at 12.
Yeah, but obviously the Bears jumped and took him. So 12 comes around, they trade back, they get more picks. Not only did they have a very good draft this year, their last pick of the draft, Matt Days, at NC State, running back, a solid guy. He's going to be a sleeper, you know, fourth round type pick in your rookie drafts. We're not going to talk too much about him, but the Browns also, I want to say, have five picks in the first two rounds next year. So up and coming team, you want to collect pieces on up and coming teams, and they're going to be cheap right now. So let's move on here. And sadly, we got to talk about the Dallas Cowboys a little bit. A lot of fun with the Dallas Cowboy fans. I think they made a pretty solid pick in the fourth round by getting Ryan Switzer, wide receiver out of UNC, and then Noah Brown.
I was sad by Switzer.
Yeah, Noah Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Name on the Thursday pod, picked by the Cowboys in the seventh round out of Ohio State, wide receiver. So you were saying about Switzer and his landing spot.
They have Cole Beasley. Yeah, and I like Cole Beasley as a kind of wide receiver four, bye week type guy. He's going to get you 10 points. You're going to get four catches for 60 or six catches for 40, maybe a touchdown or two. But I think Switzer, they got for punt return ability. And if Beasley gets hurt or anything, I think he will slide right in. They are comped, very similar, similar size. I think Switzer probably has a little more athletic upside than Beasley. But yeah, I mean, I was kind of sad that he went to Dallas. But I mean, when you got a young quarterback in Dak, and I mean, they don't have much else at wide receiver other than apparently Noah Brown. I can't forget that. You know, they're wide receiver one now. But Ryan Switzer, I think he'll be a year or two away from actually giving you fantasy fantasy points on your team.
I agree totally with that assessment. I mean, he is basically a Cole Beasley clone. They're same height, same weight, same style player. I think there's, like you said, it's a year or two till he actually can contribute anything more than special teams, just because Cole Beasley is just going to have to get older and get hurt and get out of there for him to have a role in fantasy.
Yeah, I'm not in love with either one of these wide receivers here. The Switzer pick might be just them looking a few years down the road. They got this very good offensive line. They're going to have to continue to sign those guys if they want to keep that in place. Elliott's not going to be cheap here in a few years, and either will Dak. And of course, they have Dez there. So eventually, all these contracts do come up, and if they want to try to keep some of these core players in place, they're going to have to spend that money in other places. So if you can bring a guy in that's a lot like a guy you currently have in Cole Beasley, it might make moving on from Cole Beasley a little bit easier. But I'm not a over-the-top fan of the landing spot for either one of these guys. What do you guys say? One more today? Two more?
We'll go for another 10 or so minutes.
Okay. So that'll leave us with the Denver Broncos as the next team in place. Their first offensive player off the board came in the third round. Carlos Henderson, wide receiver out of Louisiana Tech. Jake Butt, fifth-round pick, tight end out of Michigan.
Love that Butt.
Followed that up with three more. Isaiah McKenzie, wide receiver out of Georgia, also in the fifth round, sixth round. D'Angelo Henderson, Coastal Carolina University running back. And then Mr. Irrelevant himself, last pick of the draft, Chad Kelly, quarterback, Ole Miss. So Kelly, kick us off here. Carlos Henderson, Louisiana Tech, wide receiver, third round pick.
Yeah, Carlos Henderson is a lot of people's, you know, that late first, early second round wide receiver. I think this is a great landing spot for him. You know, Dimarius and Emmanuel are getting up there, so eventually this kid's gonna have a more expanded role, but I think automatically he's probably the three to start the year anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yep, agree. Completely like it.
Yep, it lets him sit and build on his skill set a little bit. You mentioned you like that Butt, but what do you actually think about Jake Butt?
With that Butt sitting here in Colorado now, get that? Mm-hmm. And yeah, wordplay. But no, with Jake Butt landing in Denver, love it. Love this landing spot. They have nothing. Nothing.
Oh, AJ Derby. Come on, man.
Get out of here.
They have nothing. Yeah, they have nothing here. Jake Butt will be able to get time to kind of settle in this seat and be able to learn the playbook. He's a pro-ready guy. He went to Michigan. I think everybody that went to Michigan is ready to play because of Harbaugh. But I think he is a prototypical tight end that we all love. Guy who can block, catch, and I don't know if it's the way he looks or what, but his play also reminds me a lot of Greg Olsen. A lot of energy when he's on the field, just kind of in your face. I mean, he's not going to let you tackle him, even if you're a lineman. There's no way you're bringing him down after first tackle if you're a defensive back. And that's the reason why he hurt his ACL. I mean, he was breaking tackles left and right, and then somebody went low and got his knee. And from what I hear, he's recovering well. I think he'll play this year. Unless Denver is going to be like, okay, I know you're ready, but we want to make sure. But that's the only way I could see that happening. I think he could play this year. And especially if Denver is in contention to win, I could see them bringing in Jake Butt week 8 or week 6 and being like, okay, we have a new weapon with Carlos Henderson. Our offense is pretty good altogether, except at quarterback.
Yep. Yeah. Butt might start off on the pup list and have an opportunity to come back midseason or later. So I think it's a good landing spot for him. Tyler did mention that the current tight ends there that they do have in Denver aren't the greatest in the world. They aren't household names. So Jake could find himself a role pretty early on in his career. But I could also, like Tyler also mentioned, I could also see the storyline where they're like, we like you. We picked you for a reason. We don't want to put you out there too early. We're just going to let you redshirt this year and come into camp next year ready to do work. Isaiah McKenzie, wide receiver, they took in the fifth round as well. Not super high on the guy.
He's a special team guy.
Yeah, he's a wide receiver depth type player. D'Angelo Henderson, sixth round.
I like it.
Yeah, for a sixth round pick, I like it. It's nothing super flashy. He's not one of the top running backs in this class, obviously, but
it's kind of a change of pace kind of guy from what they have there with Booker and CJ Anderson. And and that's the key is we got through this draft here with Denver. If you're a CJ Anderson or Devonta Booker owner,
yeah,
you gotta like that.
I think Henderson is more of a threat to Booker.
Yep.
And I think Anderson's safe for one more season. But I honestly, this is a team where 2018, they're looking for a running back.
Yeah.
I could see that. And then Chad Kelly, quarterback, like Mr. Relevant.
I like it.
I mean, it's the last pick in the draft. Yeah. If you cut him, you cut him. You lose next to nothing for it. If he shows up to camp and he shows what he showed on film a bit, which is physical talent, the ability to play quarterback at a pretty high level, and it appears that maybe he's began his grow-up process because that's been Chad's biggest issue. Chad Kelly, the nephew of former Bills quarterback.
Jim Kelly.
Oh my, I kept wanting to say Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly. Yep. They're very athletic family, as you can see on the sideline.
Jim Kelly, Buffalo Bills, great quarterback there. He went to a local high school near us, got removed. I believe it was three total high schools he was booted off of just because of his attitude, his demeanor, went to multiple colleges for the same thing.
Yeah, he went to Clemson, got kicked. And then he was on that Last Chance U show for like, it was before they recorded it. He went to that college, and then he went to Ole Miss and dominated. And then I think his off-the-field issues started to end. But I believe in karma, and I think karma got him in there, and it's hitting him hard with injuries. Mm-hmm. And I think, like you said, the mental aspect, he's learning. He needs to be business-like. And I think with Jim now hopefully getting to his head, it's like, okay, you're a professional now. You need to act like it. Otherwise, you're on the street. And I think Jim will get to him. I think Elway as well will get to him. I think those two together, being friends and all, will help out Chad. And honestly, in a super flex, I might reach for him because that quarterback situation isn't set.
Yeah, it's definitely a spot where you could reach for a guy and hope that lottery ticket cashes in for you.
Yeah, I could definitely see just on talent, he being the most talented quarterback
easy
in that quarterback room.
Easy.
I think they're going to even if he goes out there and starts lighting it up, looking much better than those other two. I think that they're going to slow play with him, especially with Paxton Lynch there. They're at least going to give him his due and let him have a full shot at it before they, decide to cut ties. And it gives you an opportunity to truly see if this kid's developed into an adult, a mature, responsible adult, or he's going to continue to be the knucklehead he has been. So let's move over here to Detroit Lions, and we'll wrap up on this. Kenny Golladay, Northern Illinois wide receiver, they take in the third round. They have a tight end also in the fourth round, Michael Roberts, and then quarterback Brad Kaye in the sixth round. So three offensive players here to talk about. Receiver, tight end, and a quarterback. Kelly, Kenny Golladay.
He's got great size, 6'4", 218. I mean, it comes from a small school, Northern Illinois. So he kind of, for me, kind of comps to that Kyaris Garrett type of player. Granted, Kyaris didn't even get drafted last year, ended up being a Panthers taxi squad kind of guy. I mean, it's a spot that definitely Detroit needs. It's a guy to keep an eye on, but I wouldn't be investing a lot in Kenny Golladay.
See, to me, it's okay. We lost Kelvin, who's a big guy, who's athletic. Galladay's a big guy who has tons of upside talent. He is not Kelvin Johnson. That is not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But he has a chance to be a wide receiver too in this offense. He's fast. He's 6'4", 218. He needs some learning. And I think JBC over there in Detroit will be able to teach him. And I think route running, if he needs work on route running, I mean, you got Marvin Jones and Golden Tate, two of probably the more underrated route runners in the NFL to help him out. If he has his head on straight and he wants to learn, this guy could be good. But is he worth a second round rookie pick? No. Is he worth a third? Probably not. A fourth? Yes. I would take a flyer because of the draft position alone. The 96 overall pick is nothing to kind of breeze by. That is a high pick. And the Lions have plans with this guy, and that's what I like to see.
Yeah, I think just on the draft value that the Lions put on this kid, I'm going to say 3-6 and beyond. I can't look at you sideways for taking Kenny Golladay here. Fourth round pick, Michael Roberts, tight end out of Toledo, with a deep tight end class. I wasn't overly in love with Michael Roberts here. So Tyler, do you think this works out?
Red zone guy. I mean, they liked having Pettigrew as a blocker, mm-hmm. and Roberts is a big guy who can block. He's got 11 and a half inch hands. I mean, he's got mitts. So I'm guessing he is what they wanted. God, who was that guy that only caught touchdowns for the Lions who was always hurt, though?
Brandon Pettigrew?
No.
You know what you're talking. He's a white guy, played tight end, and he'd always have this crazy... No, he'd always have a crazy dance afterwards, but I mean, he's a waiver wire flyer. I forgot his name, so if you're listening, tweet me the name, and I'll probably go like, oh yeah. But yeah, he's gonna be a red zone threat. He's a big guy, big hands, doesn't drop much, and yeah, he's not gonna probably be that involved in between the 20s. But once again, in the red zone, I mean, this is a guy they're going to look for.
I guess if you're an Ebron owner, you celebrate it, because this guy doesn't seem like he's that much of a threat to take cut into Ebron's playing time, though.
Yeah, I mean, this shows maybe they're giving him another year. Like, okay, please develop.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about Brad Kaya, quarterback out of the University of Miami? Kelly, what do you think about Brad Kaya here with the Detroit Lions?
I like his attitude. I like the pick for Detroit to, you know, take a late round pick on a quarterback. You know, Stafford's still got plenty of years left in the tank, in my opinion. I like how Brad seems to be the type of quarterback he wants to learn. There's some parts of his game that are okay. I feel like he's got a decent enough arm. He's just got to work on that footwork. His footwork is very sloppy. And it sounds stupid for me to sit here and say that, you know. I barely have good enough footwork to stand up some days, but you know, it's obvious at times where he's moving to his left and it totally throws everything off for the throw.
Yeah. I think this is a guy that's going to take some work to really find a role in this league.
Yeah. He'll be a career backup, but honestly, I could see him being one of the guys that is a good backup, kind of like a Matt Moore. Like, okay, Stafford got injured, but he's only out for a couple of games. We can lean on Kaya for a couple of games.
Yeah, definitely. But other than that, I don't have a ton of faith in Kaya ever being something that I'm going to lean on when it comes to a quarterback. So was it Tony Scheffler? Was that the tight end?
No. Somebody will remember. Somebody will remember. He had a weird last name. He's a guy who would always catch it, and then it'd be like he went. It was one game, I swear, he went 3 for 3 for 3 touchdowns.
Man, I remember that stat line too. They were all like within the 5 or something like that.
Yeah, it was a crazy stat. He had tons of points. People were jumping on him on a waiver wire like, this guy is going to get you a touchdown. I mean, that's all you need from a tight end. Yeah, and then he tripped by walking his dog or something like that. His dog tripped him going down the steps, and then he broke his shoulder, his collarbone or something like that. But no, yeah.
I can't remember.
Somebody will tweet us out.
Yeah, but that'll wrap up the first set of teams here. We'll be back next week. We'll talk about some more of these teams. Hopefully we get to the Eagles here soon, so Kelly and I can not poo-poo the picks, but just maybe, yeah, we wanted this guy or we wanted that guy. McNichols mixing.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can't believe McNichols didn't go to Philly. That was...
Oh man, they
had so many opportunities to do it too, and they're drafting just bum wide receivers.
No,
the Pumphrey instead of the McNichols kind of irks me a little bit, but
we'll get to that when it comes.
Yeah, we'll get to that. So, that'll wrap us up this week. Keep looking out for us. Go over to the website dynastyhappyhour.com. Follow us on Twitter. Tyler, where can they find you?
At @DHHGunth.
Kelly.
@ Dynasty Kelly app.
And you can find me.
Send me cold medicine because maybe I can get my throat to sound better.
Yeah, and we all updated our rookie rankings, like Tim said. He's working on his. I still am going to tweak mine. I'm going to bring up Adam Shaheen somewhere. But yeah, I mean, all of our rookie rankings, they're fluid. And Corey Clement didn't get drafted, but He landed in Philly. So maybe it could be a Clement Pumphrey backfield. You never know.
We'll have to give you the training camp breakdown of how he can't hit a hole.
If he pans out, you guys will never stop hearing it from me because he's in Philly now.
If he pans out, I'll buy his jersey. How about that?
You buy us all his jersey. All
right, you're not buying me his jersey. I know.
Hopefully he picks a good number.
I don't know. I saw that landing spot yesterday evening and just wasn't fun. Another thing about draft, shared a bathroom with Ian Rappaport.
Wow. Did you tap?
No. We were washing hands. I kind of look over like, oh my God. But it wasn't creepy. I mean,
yeah. And then I looked down, my zipper's down. I'm not even washing my hands.
He lamented the fact he didn't pull his phone out while he was in the bathroom with him and take a selfie with him.
He should have. I feel like he's the guy that'd be like, screw it, let's do it.
Yeah. No. I would never want anybody to do that to me.
You could have cornered him pretty easily. He's all of like 5'6".
Yeah, not a very large individual. So just get him while he's at the hand dryer, pin him against the wall.
Yeah. Wait, what?
give me your Rolodex. I need your contacts. Anyways, you're safe in Philly, Rappaport, at least for me. I can't vouch for anybody else.
Yeah, you come into Minnesota, the only crime you're going to get is getting a used hand towel handed to you to dry your hands.
Here you go, buddy.
Yeah.
Anyway.
This is used. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. You sure bet it is.
Yeah, it saves it saves the trees, okay? Anyways, again, lots of fun at the draft. Thanks, NFL. Thanks, Philly. Hopefully they have it there again next year and make Jerry wait. Me, Twitter, Tim, Dynasty FF. Again, go over the site, check everything out, download the Sitter Start app. They are great.
Yeah, if you want to contact us, do it on the site. I mean, Tim said he's the only one that gets it, but not anymore.
Oh, are you seeing me? Okay, all right. Never should give you that login. Yeah, okay, so now that Tyler sees him, you can only talk trash about Kelly.
Yep. And Twitter, our dear friend Clint left the Twitter account, so we are working things out. But I'm hoping to get these two schmucks a little more involved on the Happy Hour Twitter, so you get multiple advice on the account. So yeah, always tweet Dynasty Happy Hour. We'll get to you as soon as possible. We are also busy men with busy kids and busy lives, so if we don't get to you right away, we haven't forgotten about you.
So yeah, if you see any love for undrafted Philadelphia running backs, it's Tyler.
You know who it is.
If you see poo-pooing of undrafted Philadelphia running backs, it's either Kelly or myself.
Mm-hmm. Or if Clement got cut.
Yeah, there may be some praise there. Finally, Philly did something good.
Don't mix it up, though. Make sure you're up to date.
Yep. So with that, draft, trade, win, and repeat.
That's all the time we got today for another Dynasty Happy Hour. Be sure and follow the guys on Twitter. At DHH Gunth, at Dynasty Kelly App, at Tim Dynasty FF, and most importantly, at Dynasty HH Pod. The music for this podcast was brought to you by The Morning Kings. Be sure and check them out at themorningkings.com. Catch you back here next time for the Dynasty Happy Hour. This has been a Dynasty Happy Hour Podcast Network.